Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Steve Stoke.
When I started out and Harry was my partner, he said to me, "You will find your identity." It turned out that I felt that my identity was going to be to teach as many people as I could the game of baseball.
White Sox TV analyst.
Being an analytics guy, I would have known that a sub-6-foot-tall right-handed starting pitcher in the major leagues, the odds were infinitesimal. But if there was a contest that had a winner, I could never understand why it shouldn't be me.
Social media guy.
A lot of people love you, especially the people you haven't blocked.
I've been blocking more than Tom Brady's line.
Steve Stoke with Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
We had another White Sox game last night as we continue to X them off the schedule, heading toward wherever this may go. And one of the people calling that game on NBC Sports Chicago was this man, Steve Stone. He's on Twitter at Steve Stone. He is on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hi, Stoney.
Hello, Dan. How you doing?
I'm all right. I just thought there were too many at-bats the White Sox had last night. Before we talk about the fielding miscues, et cetera, but just why were they such easy outs?
Well, I think it was a bad matchup, as it turned out. I mean, I don't think anybody could expect that a first-time Major League starter would have the command of his changeup that he did. And, there's no doubt. Look, this is not a patient team. It never has been. And last night, I think the steady procession of left-handers held the Sox down, which is somewhat surprising because they usually hit left-handers very well. But they were left-handers that didn't use the strike zone a lot. And when you have an aggressive team, and the Sox are one of those, you can make it work against them by not throwing you a whole lot of hittable strikes, especially if you get ahead at all, and they were able to do that last night. So, was it disappointing? Certainly. I mean, Texas is a ball club that's pretty much there for the taking, and yet they did not take advantage of that. On a night that both Minnesota and Cleveland lost, the Sox could have been a game out of first, tied for second, and as it turns out, they're in the same place they were when the night started, which the only shining light is that they didn't lose any ground, losing a game here in Texas.
Stoney, I'm okay with an aggressive approach, like a team-wide aggressive approach. But you talk a lot about making sure that you don't hit pitchers' pitches. So as a game goes on, what are the types of things that hitters need to be talking to themselves about, what they talk to their manager, their hitting coach about when a game goes on and you're being taken advantage of that way where you're hitting pitchers' pitches? How do you get out of that? Or is that something that on a game-by-game basis a player can't work on?
Well, I think he certainly can if he is an aware hitter who understands what the pitcher is trying to do to him. And as it turned out last night, it didn't appear, at least for some time during the course of that game, that the guys were able to adjust to not seeing a lot of strikes. I mean, it's very unusual to see a young pitcher who is making his major league start be able to use pitches out of the strike zone as well as the Sox saw last night. I mean, that is not It's not something that you normally can see, especially from, you know, from a guy like Reagan's, who just, you don't know what you're going to get when you run a guy out there. It's a wonderful story. It doesn't help the Sox being a wonderful story and all, but Reagan's is, because he fought back from two Tommy John surgeries. He essentially missed 3 years, and yet he came out, and although he was on the ropes in the first inning, after Vaughn walked, Moncada decided for whatever reason to swing at the first pitch and pop it up. It's one thing to swing at the first pitch if you're getting your pitch. It's another thing after a guy in his first major league start walks the hitter on four straight, you step up there and pop up the first pitch. It was not a good look. And you're talking about a guy that didn't have a 1-2-3 inning in any inning. Now, he threw a couple of double play ground balls when he had to, ending the fourth and the fifth. But he was there for the taking, and the Sox couldn't do it. And then Burke came in after him, and he was really impressive. He was throwing 97 with a 90-mile-an-hour changeup. Again, not throwing it in the zone. And but he's a pitcher with a great earned run average, one of the best in baseball, if not the best, for pitchers over 50 innings. And yet they were swinging a lot of pitches out of the zone, not making solid contact, not really hitting the kind of line drives we've seen in recent games from them. And that's essentially what happened. But, you know, look, there doesn't seem to be a spot in the lineup for Grandal, who went 0-for-3 last night, did hit a line drive to end the eighth inning.
But what's wrong with him, Steve? What's wrong?
Yeah, well, he's got 5 extra base hits. If I could tell you what's wrong, I'd be a hitting coach. I have no idea. All I do know is he's not driving the ball. He's become a very slow-running singles hitter. And when he gets on base, you can't score him from second on a single. You can't score him from first on a double. So taking walks is okay if you're a table setter. Yasmani is supposed to be one of those guys that drives the baseball, and yet he's not really driving it. He's content to hit the ball the other way, which is fine in situations where it calls for that. But in other situations, you'd like him to at least think about pulling the ball and hitting the ball hard, pulling the ball certainly from the left side, which is something the Sox need. I mean, with Moncada sitting there at 5 home runs and Grandal sitting there at 2, you don't have a lot of left-handed production. That's what makes last night even more mystifying, because you had all right-hand hitters, Moncada, of course, Grandal being switch hitters, but you had all right-hand hitters against some left-handers who have been, except for Burke, either not there this year or struggling this year, and they just couldn't get it done.
Would you be tempted to play Zavala more, knowing that he maybe gives you a little bit more defensively and he clearly gives you more offensively than Grandal? Balancing that with the fact that Grandal needs at bats, but they're kind of running out of time. So I'm not sure what they need to do here.
Well, look, you can't play a catcher every day. We do know that, because these guys wear down, especially late in the season. And it's always a long season, although Grandal's been injured a great part of it. But I think there comes a time, and I think we're probably at that time, when you have to go with the hot hand. And there's no doubt that Sebi has been the hot hand. He's been hitting close to 300. He's actually catching the ball very well. And I would probably think you're going to see him get some more at-bats. One of the reasons, I mean, Tony hit Grandal eighth. You're running out of spots in the batting order to hit him. And so I think there's a good chance that we'll start to see Sebi a little bit more. But, you know, then again, you've got Grandal for another year after this year. However, it doesn't look like he's coming out of this anytime soon.
We heard Josh Nelson earlier giving us some data regarding Andrew Vaughn as a right fielder, and it's not good. He is almost by every metric the worst right fielder, regular right fielder in baseball. Why continue to play him there? Why can't they just say, look, if you're going to be in left, we know for sure whoever is in right is going to be better than that.
Well, that's certainly one approach. However, last night, for instance, you had Robert as a DH because he's having, I hope that he's over the sight issues that he had playing the field. We'll see tonight. We'll see how he judges a ball in center field. You certainly want Luis Robert in your lineup. And so if you DH him, to some of the people who say you can't have Vaughn in right, well, then where do you want him? Where would you play him if you had a DH Robert?
That's the problem.
There's the problem. The answer is you play him in right field. Now, this happens to be a team who could be probably better served if you had 3 or 4 designated hitters. We don't have that. So having only one, you have to mix and match. And I understand, and I think Andrew is doing the best job he possibly can. But when you play a first baseman in right field, you're going to get these kind of, you know, slow reads, these kind of miscommunications, the kind of things that first baseman will do if they're playing the outfield every day. And I understand the situation in left field with Eloy, and quite possibly if Robert is going to play every day, this team would be better served with Eloy as a DH, but then that doesn't make Eloy particularly happy. The thing that I am concerned about is not the happiness of Eloy Jimenez. I am concerned about the well-being of this baseball team, and I would want to put the best defensive group out there, because we've seen conclusively that if you score 6, 7, 8 runs a game, you can make your usual 1, 2, or 3 mistakes, whether it be base running mistakes or fielding mistakes. You're not even looking back at those if you're winning the game by 3, 4, 5 runs. But if you're in close games, and you're in close games a lot, and this White Sox team is, because they really don't pound pitching all that often, you're going to have some problems when you don't execute. I think it's probably unrealistic to assume that a team who hasn't executed all year is suddenly going to start executing here the first week of August. So that being said, I think you have to go with what you feel is the best scenario. One of the things I think that Tony probably felt was that Eloy was swinging the bat as well as anybody in baseball the previous week, week and a half, whatever the case may be. He didn't want to disrupt what he had going at the time, but I think when Luis plays, like tonight, if you want Vaughn in the lineup, maybe left field is a better play with Eloy being the DH. Or if Robert plays, maybe Eloy playing in left field with Vaughn being the DH is a better play. But I will agree with you that defense will win you championships. Lack thereof will send you home. And we're at the point now where this is a very long sprint. This is not a marathon any longer. And you've got to go out there with the best you've got on a nightly basis.
Tim Anderson had an on-base streak and had a hit streak. But the hits were kind of all singles. Last night, he looked terrible at the plate. Is there anything approach or mechanical that you see is going on with Tim at the plate, which why we aren't seeing the best version of him offensively?
Well, I think the reason why Tim started the ball game last night at 313 was that when he's hitting the ball consistently and getting base hits consistently, he hits the ball to right and right center field. He'll take the ball back through the middle. When he gets runners in a situation where he's coming up and there's runners in scoring position, for some reason he becomes a dead pull hitter, rolling over a lot of balls and grounding to the left side. That's not going to get him where he wants to get as far as being a run producer. And I understand the number one hitter in the lineup is a table setter, but when you come up in situations where you have to drive home a run, or you come up only one out, that ground ball to the left side doesn't play particularly well. It seems like Tim starts to think about driving in that run and goes against what made him a 300 hitter in the first place, which is using right and right center field. I think if he concentrates more in that aspect of it, he can make things a lot more uncomfortable for the pitchers who are throwing little sinkers down and in, off-speed breaking balls, trying to entice him to pull the ball. And he's been doing a lot of that.
I love that play that Johnny Cueto made, understanding when third base was uncovered and he hustled like nobody's business to get over there and do it. The recognition, the realization, the execution, and most of all, the baseball instinct. More of that. It's just when it takes this veteran pitcher who you found off the street to come in and be a baller, just be a baseball player, it reminded me of how little of that I've seen this year from this team.
Well, you're looking at a guy in Johnny Cueto at 35 years of age who might have the best awareness on the baseball team about how to play the game of baseball, and it transcends just pitching. He is absolutely aware of everything that goes on, and he's sitting on the bench trying to pick up little things to help him on a daily basis. I think, you know, there's an old saying in baseball that you can watch a baseball game, we all do. But if you really want to get better at it, you observe the game and you take in exactly what lessons there are to be learned. And Johnny can do that. He is so aware on the field that he almost doesn't need a scouting report to face these hitters, because he gets reads off what the hitter is trying to do. He's probably the smartest pitcher we have. He doesn't have the best stuff, quite obviously, and he doesn't have near the stuff that he had when he came up with Cincinnati. But he understands exactly what each situation needs. For instance, he gave up a couple of doubles to Lowe last night, the first two times up. I mean, he just cranked the ball. And he came up in a key situation in the sixth inning, and he didn't intentionally pitch around him per se. He pitched to get him out. Two high fastballs and then a low slider out of the zone. All three pitches out of the zone, he got the harmless ground ball to the right side. Then he came up once again in the eighth inning and struck him out on a high fastball. So he understood that the two doubles were something that he had to adjust to, and he was able to do that. As far as overall awareness that Cueto has, we saw that he's a very good fielder, number one. He's very quick off the mound. But also the overall baseball awareness of where to be. And it's pretty easy to tell these guys, go to the unoccupied base. If you're not going to be in the play, figure out where the unoccupied base is and get there. And Johnny got there in plenty of time, and Tim threw him the baseball, and it turned out to be a relatively easy out. It was in the seventh inning. It was a huge play because Garcia led off that inning with a base hit. If Taveras also gets the third safely, you had single, single, single after that, and then sacrifice fly. That was an inning that that the Rangers didn't hit the ball very hard but scored two runs on four hits. If Taveras is not out, that maybe turns into a four- or five-run inning, and then the game is over. As it appeared at the time, it was a key play in the game. It kept the Sox in the game. At the end, the offense couldn't do it, but it wasn't for anything that Johnny Cueto did. And they asked him, you want to come out after seven? He goes, no, I got something left. And he went out, pitched the eighth inning, threw a complete game, not one that he wanted because he lost. But he just showed you just how good he can be. And last night, he was the top of everything that he does as a pitcher.
Even the risk calculus on the bunt, where he's like, yeah, I could throw it to first base, but being aware of what's going on with his team, he's like, you know what, I'll just put it in my pocket and I'll go after the next batter. Stoney, what's the pressure like on Dylan Cease? Because I feel like each week when we're watching the White Sox not be able to like put together a sustained streak, they're like, well, wait, Dylan Cease is pitching. This is going to be great because he's going to go out there and strike out the world. When you're that guy, what type of pressure is there on you to be the stopper?
I don't think there's any more pressure than normally would be when you're going out for a major league game. I mean, this guy is pitching for a lot more than the White Sox winning, although I'm sure he's concentrating each and every pitch. I think that's been the greatest transition for Dylan, who has finally taken the great stuff he's always had, learned how to use it, and now concentrates a whole lot better than he ever has during his career. But when you go out there, you don't think of the greater picture around you more than you're going pitch to pitch. He knows that he's given up four runs in the last 70 innings. They've been four solo home runs. He's had 12 starts where he hasn't given up more than one earned run. That's miraculous. I think just about since, 1901, something along those lines, there's only been one other pitcher who's been able to do that, and that was Jacob DeGrom. As you know, he's got all-world stuff just about every time he goes out there. He doesn't pitch for the better part of a year, comes out, throws 102. But anytime you're mentioning the same sentence with Jacob DeGrom, you'd have to say, you know what, you're doing a lot of things right. Right now, Dylan is. I don't think he is thinking about any more pressure than going out there with a regular major league game and going out to win. You're talking about the American League Pitcher of the Month 2 months in a row with an ERA under one both months. So it's not like he needs additional pressure. I don't even think he thinks about it. I think what he thinks about is, you know, the first two guys in the lineup each and every day are Marcus Semien and Seager. So it's Semien and Seager, probably Heim, and maybe Lowe. That's going to be the first hitters you face. So he's thinking about pitch number one to Semien, plain and simple. After he makes that, he's thinking about pitch number two. I don't think he goes beyond that because I don't think you can. And this Texas team, despite the fact that the bullpen has been very bad and they have a horrible defense most of the time, they do have pretty decent hitters. And so there's something to be reckoned with, especially in their home park.
Stoney, this just my observation here. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm noticing that it seems like you're the designated divisional scoreboard watcher at times, that it's you have been jumping in to keep us apprised of what the Guardians and Twins are doing. Is that you on your own, or is that the decision of the broadcast? Is that you and the truck deciding that now it's the time to do more of that?
There has been nothing that's been ever said to Jason and I about you have to say this now or say this then. That's something that I do, because I think that that the folks want to know what the Guardians and the Twins are doing.
Oh, I know. I do. I just found your timing just seems kind of just right, and it gives everything a tone of a little bit more seriousness to let us know we're kind of running out of games here.
Well, that's where we are at this time of year. That's why this time of year is so fascinating, so frustrating, so much fun, so much anguish, because each and every day it really means something now. I mean, you give away a game the second week of April. Well, you gave it away. You know, there's another game tomorrow. You got 130, 140 left, whatever the case may be. That isn't the case any longer. So each one of these plays, each time this team does not execute offensively, each time they have defensive difficulties, each play they don't make is magnified this time of year. It's also magnified when you're not scoring runs, and the Sox would like to score a few more, I'm sure, because it gives them room to breathe. We don't have many games where there's room to breathe. Each and every one of these games has a certain amount of tension attached to it, where you're not being able to just sit back and relax and enjoy what's going on and have a good time, you know, have a cold drink, do whatever you need to do. That's not it. You're pretty much on the edge of your seat. You're pretty much looking at what's coming up next, who's coming up next. I mean, what's going to happen? Who do they have left in the bullpen? Who do they have left on the bench? And so I think in covering the entirety of what's going on a nightly basis, you have to look at every angle. You have to see what could happen, what needs to happen, and what the other teams are doing.
When it comes to the trade deadline, the White Sox didn't do much. Neither did the Guardians. The Twins did a little bit. What did you think of what they did?
Well, the Twins did exactly what they had to do, because they had a big hole at the back end of their bullpen. And the two guys that they acquired at the back end are going to really help them. I mean, Lopez was a closer for the Orioles. The Orioles are still in this wild card, which is kind of surprising to me why they let him go, but they did. So that's certainly going to help them. But, you know, getting a starting pitcher and two relievers is exactly what the Twins needed, because they feel that if Buxton stays together, they're going to have enough offense. And so far, with Rocco Baldelli judiciously not playing Buxton every day and then using him as a designated hitter when they have to do that, they believe they have enough offense, and it starts with Arise. I mean, that's the kind of player. I was talking with a couple of guys from the ball club, from the staff today, about the various types of ball players that are emerging as central figures to contending teams. And one is Kwan from Cleveland, and the other is Arise from Minnesota, because they put the bat on the ball. They don't overswing. They're capable of hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Surprisingly, Kwan can do that on occasion. Arise does that a little bit more. But more times than not, you can't defend them any one way, because they are not going to make a mistake swinging at pitches out of the zone very often. I mean, nobody's immune to that entirely. But for the most part, when they come up, you know that you're going to have a problem. They're going to make contact, and then you're going to have to execute defensively. So that's why Arise is so important to the Twins. That's why Kwan is so important to a lesser scale, because he's not as accomplished as Arise yet. But they really are a matchup nightmare for who's ever pitching against them. And then when you're talking about Kwan at the top, you have a couple of other guys who might hit second, but then Ramirez comes along. And the thing you have to like about Ramirez is, man never gets sore legs. It's amazing to me. He plays every day. Literally, he plays every day. Terry Francona comes to the ballpark, and the one guy he doesn't have to worry about playing is Jose Ramirez. He puts him in the three spot. He's a switch hitter. He hustles. He steals bases. He plays defense, and he gives you everything he has on a daily and nightly basis. How refreshing would that be for a manager who knows that the best player on your team, the anchor of your organization, the face of your organization, goes out there every day and gives you everything he has? Never one moment of not hustle in Jose Ramirez. And that's one of the reasons why Cleveland wanted him desperately. One of the reasons why they had him traded, but went to him and said, look, we want you here. You are our guy. But we understand if you need to go someplace else. And then you'll have to understand if we move you, because we have to get something back for you. But here's the deal. You're going to be terribly underpaid by the scale that is today's baseball. However, if you want to stay here, this is it. And he wanted to stay there. And he is the leader both by example and to a certain extent vocally on that team. But again, what a wonderful thing for Terry Francona to have at his disposal on a daily basis.
You made a similar remark earlier this week about Salvador Perez.
Yeah, but the only thing with Salvi is that, you know, outside these last couple of years, he's playing on a team that has no chance to win. But when he was playing on a team that had a chance to win, He's a wonderful player, and he hustles every moment also. And that's another luxury when you have one of the leaders, if not the leader of your team, as a catcher. Because as we know, catchers become pretty good managers. Catchers have the whole game in front of them. They can see everything, and they have to know everything if you're going to go behind there, because not only do you have to produce offensively, but you have to know each and every one of your pitchers and each and every one of the opponent's hitters. I mean, it's a huge responsibility, adding the fact that it's like somebody hitting you in the knee or the mask or the shoulder with a hammer two or three times every day to add to a little distraction. But yeah, if you can have a leader that's a catcher, that's the ultimate.
Stoney, have a terrific weekend. Here is to better baseball.
Well, let's hope we do see it, and no better place to be than in a dome in Arlington, Texas.
Well, it could, yeah, that's right, because if you go outside, you'll catch on fire.
Thanks, Steve. That is Steve Stone, okay, who joins this station often to talk about the Chicago White Sox. When we come back, ahead of Cubs baseball, Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy is meeting the media. What?
I think I really like Luke Getsy.
Okay. Yeah, he's said some stuff.
He's blunt.
Yeah, we'll get to it next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
For me, it's the lack of execution that I'm focused on right now. That's what pisses me off more than anything is right now is getting that stuff taken care of and getting that out of there and guys knowing what the heck to do so then we can talk about stuff like that as you get going.
Luke Getsy, Bears offensive coordinator from several weeks ago when things started out in kind of rocky fashion perhaps for the offense, and they haven't gotten a whole hell of a lot better since then. If reports are to be believed. And like you say, sometimes the best way to answer a question is honestly and succinctly. And he was asked if he thinks the Bears are close to finding a starting offensive line. His answer, no.
I think I really like Luke Getsy. Because so far, this may change. He's been plenty honest about what it is that he's working with. And I appreciate a coach that isn't going to, oh, well, you know, the guys are, they're working hard. And yeah, we'll get a five that we really, really, no, no. You've seen it. You're looking at our practices every day. You know this guy is trash and this guy, no. He told you everything you needed to know about where the Bears' offensive line is in one syllable.
He also says that Tevin Jenkins has been in meetings, and he described him as all in.
Okay.
All right.
That's good to hear, because Eberflus was saying that he was only there to work with the trainers. So I needed to hear that he was actually at meetings, because if he's going to be on your team, he needs to be at meetings even if he's unhealthy.
He also says the offense is about finished with the installation phase. I guess they were doing cards today, scout team work against 3-4s.
Which is interesting.
Which, that's very early in camp to do scout team. Very early.
And when you don't have a 5 to protect it.
Right.
It's a little interesting. Our Chris Emma tweeted this. Luke Getsy said he does not see the Bears close to solidifying a starting offensive line as they continue to evaluate. Quote, you'll see different combinations into preseason until we feel really good about where we're at. Close quote.
And Adam John says Braxton Jones played every snap at left tackle with the first offense.
Yeah, that seems to be, he seems to be the, him and Cody Whitehair seem to be the two guys that you can pretty much pencil them in at their spots, and then you work around with everyone else.
Take this quote however you want. But Getsy said their offense is going to need Cole Kmet to be a rock star.
Yes, which is a fear of mine.
Uh-oh.
It's a fear of mine that they will need him to be a rock star. I was kind of hoping that he could, you know, develop into that without there being the...
I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't either.
I haven't seen a flash of that yet. If you're talking like... George Kittle, Darren Waller, well, Travis Kelce.
He's not. No, you can't be Darren Waller. Like, because you don't have the physicals.
But those are the three rock stars, right?
Yes.
Is he Mike Gesicki?
I'd be over the moon if he were Mike Gesicki.
Okay.
That guy is a threat. And that's what you want Cole Kmet to be. It can't just be, well, he's out here to help set an edge on a run play. That's part of it. That's what Kittle does and what he does really well. He's got to be able to get off of that stuff and be a weapon inside this passing game.
More on Tevin Jenkins. Getsy was asked, has Jenkins been an active participant in meetings? His answer, quote here, Adam Hogue quotes him, oh, yeah, Tevin has been great. He's been attentive. He's all in. Yeah, once he gets through this deal, he'll be back out there ready to rock and roll.
So that's an offensive coordinator who seems to feel like he has a place on his team.
Mm-hmm.
So what's wrong
with him? What's going on? Where are his legs?
Andrew Vaughn is wearing his legs so that he can play a bad right field. Maybe that's it. Maybe you've got tackle leg, and that's why you can't run and catch the ball.
We presume it's his back, because it's always been his back, and he had surgery on his back last year, and last year they lied about all of it until they stopped lying about it.
Well, I mean, they're lying about this, too. They're just not telling us what it is, and they're telling us that he's there with the trainers, and then there are reports from the NFL Network, not like from you or I, from the NFL Network saying that you're trying to trade him. So... until we see him out on the field, what are we supposed to believe? But it is definitely a step in the right direction that he is at least a part of the meetings that are going on at Halas Hall. Because if you have a player that's not doing anything football related, I think that it's difficult to even try and move that player.
Or are they just saying this to send the message to other teams that he's still worth sending a late pick for?
Maybe.
And they just told everybody stay on message when asked.
Getsy went on when asked about Aaron Rodgers taking psychedelics, quote, "I was not invited on those trips. Hey, whatever it takes, I guess."
Okay.
And then when asked, "Would you like to be invited?" Getsy went, "Eh," and walked off.
Come on. Like, what's he? That I kind of feel bad for him there. What's he supposed to say?
Yeah, I don't want to be invited on those trips because it's Aaron Rodgers.
Right, but maybe if you don't have Aaron Rodgers with you, it might be interesting.
Sure.
Say life-changing.
I mean, I would like to go back to Costa Rica. I enjoy Costa Rica quite a bit.
Costa Rica to me, and everybody I know who's been there has had a wonderful time. That's the place where Lovie Smith was attacked by monkeys.
Yeah.
And it's the place where Paul Edinger had his kicking and surfing camp.
Yeah, and I've been to, I was there, there was a Packers bar. There's a big like Packer contingent that lives down there. It's on my list, but I was warned. Because, you know, a lot of people in Costa Rica kind of look like me. Like, I could blend in there fairly easily.
Like the end of Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
And having an old friend for dinner.
But I was warned by some of the bruhs that are on the Caribbean side of Costa Rica that things are a little different over there. That the history of Costa Rica is fascinating. I love that place.
Okay.
Just saying that on the Caribbean side, there are some harsh feelings about some things that have been done. And while the groups continue to mix over there, it's just, you know, things to keep in mind when you're scouting other places to live.
Are these like the warnings about where to go and not go in Jamaica?
Yeah. And some of the things that were offered to the black people who came to Costa Rica and then were not paid forward. And I was like, hey, that sounds a lot like...
I know that playbook. I know that stuff. Hey, thank you to Josh Nelson, to Mark Grody, to Joe Ostrowski, and to Steve Stone. Another fine week from our production staff, Ray Diaz, Mike Rankin, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell for helping out. When's Lapka coming back? Does he have to go under the knife? How hurt is he?
I don't think he's playing on Monday.
Okay.
Hopefully for the playoffs. You got 3 weeks.
Waiting for that report. I did hear a potential ringer could be in town for a big game.
Oh. Oh, good. I
serious.
Appreciate that.
I don't know if he's ever played any 16-inch softball in his life, but look out.
Works for me.
Because no one would be ready for that. Have a terrific weekend. We will talk about everything on Monday when we are looking forward to being joined by Ian Happ, Dan Wiederer, and James Fegan. Stay tuned for Cubs baseball.
All right. Well, see you later.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.